I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, June 16th, 2025. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us for the Monday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart. Well, Universal Pictures' How to Train Your Dragon took the top spot at the weekend box office. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, man, stocks rebound, oil drops, and again, a busy week on tap, including key data on retail, housing, and G7 talks amid global tensions. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services based in Pittsburgh. Now, Gus, let's first start with the markets. Stocks seem to be bouncing back. We mentioned oil prices are dropping. So what's driving this investor optimism right now, especially amid all this tension?
I think it's the feeling that the tensions are perhaps not as severe as they were thought a few days ago. So the war doesn't appear to be spreading. We're not seeing Saudi Arabia, for example, a big oil producer involved. And so I think after seeing stocks decline at the end of last week and oil prices increase, there's a sense that perhaps things aren't quite as bad as first feared.
Well, and hey, not as bad is pretty much equivalent to good, right?
We'll take it. I wouldn't go quite that far. And, you know, we still see oil prices that are up from where they were before the Israeli attack on Iran. But certainly I think that the sense is that perhaps we're not seeing the worst that we might have expected.
Yeah. Now, Gus, we obviously have a packed data calendar this week. Retail sales, home builder sentiment, housing starts. Which report do you think will be the most telling about where the economy's headed this summer?
Certainly, retail sales will give us a good sense of how consumers are feeling. They're anxious about tariffs. We know that. And so we'll be watching both auto sales, but also discretionary things like restaurant sales or households cutting back on going out to eat because they're concerned about the economy. We have the Fed meeting on Wednesday, and they'll release what they expect to do. We'll keep interest rates unchanged. But I think more importantly is what does the Fed say about interest rate potential interest rate cuts later this year. And then finally, we have seen initial claims for unemployment insurance moving higher, perhaps as layoffs are picking up. Do we continue to see those slightly higher claims? And does that indicate that the job market is softening in the middle of 2025?
Now, the G7 summit's currently underway in Canada. A lot of talk about global trade tensions there, plus the Israel-Iran conflict taking center stage. So how much of an impact do you think this summit will have on the markets, or as we were talking about earlier, consumer confidence?
I think the impacts there are going to be pretty minimal. I don't think that we're going to see a lot of progress on trade coming out of the summit. I think the administration is working with foreign countries to try to reduce some of the tensions that we saw after the United States imposed those trade barriers. And also, I don't think that they're going to have much to say of importance about what the situation in the Middle East. So I don't think there's going to be a lot coming out of the summit. I think more importantly is what happens with the trade talks that are ongoing between the United States and many other nations.
Yeah. Now, would you say, is it those trade talks or is there something else that you would suggest our listeners and consumers in general keep a close eye on this week?
I think, you know, what is the Fed saying about the potential for interest rate cuts later this year? Are they signaling that they could cut in the second half of 2025? That has big implications for business investment, for consumer spending, for some extent for the mortgage market. And then again, what's going on with the labor market? Does it appear that we are seeing perhaps a softening in the job market that would mean weaker job growth and a rising unemployment rate that could cause problems for consumers down the road?
Thanks so much for joining us. Gus Fauché, Chief Economist at PNC Financial Services. Coming up, blockbuster family films filling theater seats this summer.
Money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
How to Train Your Dragon soared to the number one spot at the box office as blockbuster-packed summer starts to officially heat up. So let's break down some of these big numbers with Paul Dragarabedian, Senior Media Analyst for the box office tracking company Comscore in Los Angeles. Paul, How to Train Your Dragon literally soared to the top spot. So what makes this remake so successful?
Well, Rachel, I think it's just the perfect family film. It was a perfect release date, having opened over the weekend that Father's Day occurred. And that, I think, became like a touchstone moment for a lot of people, families going out to the movie theater. And the film topped the box office. It made close to $200 million worldwide, $83.7 million domestically. Another big win for PG movies, which have been on a tear since Super Mario Brothers opened a couple of years ago. And it just continues. And we saw that with Lilo and Stitch. We're going to see it with Smurfs is upcoming. Elio actually is coming out this weekend. Then you have Smurfs Bad Guys 2 opening in August. And so, wow, what a time for family films.
Yeah, and I sort of want to talk about that because you touched on this boom of PG-rated movies. What is that telling us about audience behavior, right? It's not just parents bringing their kids to these movies. I have adult friends going by themselves to go see How to Train Your Dragon, and I'm jealous I can't go with.
Well, you just answered the question for me. That's exactly what's happening. You have people, older or more mature audiences, as
I like
to say.
Yeah, careful there, Paul.
Yeah, I know. Going to see those movies, and it really works. And I think the thing is, it used to be that parents wanted only to take their kids to see G-rated movies because if it had a higher rating than that, it might be too or edgy or inappropriate for younger kids. However, with the first Shrek movie, I remember when that movie came out, it was PG, and it had enough stuff in there for us older people to understand it and get a kick out of it rather than snoozing while the kids watch a G-rated movie. And so it perfectly bridges the gap between what's appropriate for kids, but what is also entertaining to more mature moviegoers. And I think that's really playing out well. PG-13 still a big deal. R-rated movies, obviously, there's a place for all these ratings. But PG this year, according to our Comscore data, those films have generated through this weekend $1.5 billion. That's 41% of the year-to-date box office.
Okay, now you
I know, and you
listed a bunch of movies that are up and coming, and a lot of these are live-action remakes, and we have to talk about this because some are flops, some are big successes. What separates that?
Well, I think it's just good filmmaking. So, I mean, I have nothing against sequels if they're good. I have nothing against live-action remakes, as I think everybody can agree. If a movie's good, I don't care what you call it, a sequel, a prequel, a remake, a live-action remake, a hybrid, whatever it may be. If it's good, I'm in. And I think the difference is if you look at How to Train Your Dragon, the reviews on the movie have been stellar. And so if you have that groundswell of critical acclaim, but also have that love of the audience, that's that sweet spot where you can make all that dough at the box office. And there's so many great movies on the way. It's just, if you're a movie fan, get in line right now because there's so many great movies on the way. F1, I can't wait for Jurassic World, Superman, Smurfs, the list goes on and on all the way through to Labor Day Monday. What a lineup.
Thanks so much for joining us, Paul DeGarabedian. Up next, it appears tariffs aren't having a whole lot of an impact on car prices, at least for now.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Despite 2 months of auto tariffs, car prices remain pretty steady for now, though some experts say it might be a smart time to buy before those increases hit. Let's get the perspective of Jeff Gilbert. He's CBS auto reporter based in Detroit, Michigan. And Jeff, again, what's up with this? We had car prices that were expected to jump but haven't. So what's holding things steady amid these tariffs?
Well, first, everybody expects everything to be immediate. And the reality is a lot of the vehicles that are on dealers' lots now, even if they're imported, may have been imported before the tariffs. So this is going to take a little bit of a while. What we're seeing with vehicle prices right now, we've seen a couple of price increases for the near future, not yet, a couple of products from Ford coming from Mexico. What we're seeing more of is tighter inventories because people have been buying, and that means fewer incentives and deals out there, which is kind of a de facto price increase.
I have to think, too, and you sort of mentioned this, this isn't an immediate repercussion. It's going to take a while because these automakers and car dealers, they buy in advance. So, you know, how is this dynamic going to change when you start to see that pre-tariff inventory really dwindle down?
Well, we're starting to see some of it dwindle down, but it'll be interesting to see what happens over the summer because we had such a boost in late March, early April, and the beginning of May. It's kind of leveled off now. We had such a boost back then that analysts are waiting for payback because a lot of the people who bought vehicles in April and in March in particular were people who were going to buy vehicles this summer anyway. So it'll be interesting to see if car sales, you know, drop off a bit in the summer.
It's also been like an actual marketing point from car dealers, right? We've got pre-tariff inventory, and it almost feels a little like a fear tactic of like, hey, get it before it gets worse. But I have to think, too, that interest rates are going to play a part in this for people who are looking as well.
Well, yeah, that factors into it as well. And a joke in our newsroom in Detroit has always been if you talk to a car dealer or a realtor somewhere in there, they will always say now is the time to buy. So, you know, you see a little bit of that. And you also see a couple of really good incentives out there for the near future from both Stellantis and Ford. They're doing employee pricing and they're determining how long that's going to last. I think most of that is going to end at the end of this month, though.
So what tip do you have for someone trying to navigate the car market right now? Is now the time to buy?
Yeah, you know, now is always the time to buy, depending on who you're talking to. But it all depends on your personal situation. I mean, car prices have been going nowhere but up even before tariffs. So the reality is, you know, there will be price increases going forward and they could be pushed up a bit by tariffs. But the other question is, are we going to see agreements that lessen those tariffs? So, you know, the good advice is always don't panic. Do your homework, see what's out there, and work out the situation that's best for you. If it's best for you to hang onto your vehicle, that's fine. If you need a new vehicle, well, you know, you're probably going to see better deals in the next couple of months than you're going to see right now just because of the inventory situation. But, you know, certain cases like employee pricing, you'll see better deals now. So your situation could vary.
Thanks so much for the insight. Jeff Gilbert, CBS automotive reporter based in Detroit, still ahead, putting together a plan to save for college, and we'll have some suggestions for our Monday stock picker.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart. Well, the stocks are trading higher today, and joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Art Hogan, a chief market strategist at B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, let's talk about what's happening on Wall Street today. Stocks seem to be shrugging off any of those geopolitical concerns. What's your take?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things to think about here. So first and foremost, very typically when we have an announcement of a geopolitical hotspot, in this case, Israel bombing Iran, there's certainly that first knee-jerk reaction. We saw that on Friday. Fridays are also not a good time to take on a lot of risk when we don't know if there's going to be more escalation or retaliation over a weekend. So as we settle into the weekend and keep on top of the news, it appears as though thus far this has been contained to just those two key players. There haven't been a lot of civilian casualties, and there hasn't been any loss of oil production. And those are the big pieces of the puzzle. We don't know if that changes in the days to come, but in the here and now, with what we do know, we certainly think Friday's sell-off needed to be clawed back a bit of it. We're taking back about half of what we gave back on Friday. And then we're just going to sit, be glued to any new news that comes out. Can this be contained or does this expand? And do we have to get more concerned about some loss of crude oil on the global marketplace?
Right. Art, you touched on that. You talked about oil being a pretty big factor. Would you say that that's the biggest threat to the financial markets right now within the umbrella of what's happening overseas?
100%. I think that's the first concern, right? So, you know, understanding that Iran's between 2 and 3 million barrels a day on the global supply chain, that most of that goes to China. If we were to lose that, we would certainly be in a tighter supply marketplace. And clearly that would move the price per barrel of oil higher than this. That has immediate economic ramifications, depending on how long that lasts. Since there haven't been any oil fields taken out, and it doesn't appear as though this is what Israel was targeting, I think the market's breathing a sigh of relief. So we had the WTI go up as high as $75 on Fridays, back down to 71. And I think that that probably makes sense with what we know. That could change pretty rapidly, but in the here and now, that was the first of the economic ramifications of this attack.
Yeah, if we're also sort of broadening up our perspective here of some of this optimism that we're seeing on Wall Street, we're seeing investors sort of flock back to those big tech names like Tesla and Meta. So what does that tell us about the risk appetite right now?
Yeah, it's such a great question, Rachel. I think the beginning of the year was all about selling those Mag 7s and the large mega-cap technology stocks and rotating into defensive. So we spent almost the whole first quarter with that group being for sale and people buying things like consumer staples and utilities and healthcare stocks. And then after we got through the sort of April noise around the trade war and started to hear about deals with the UK and negotiations with China, people felt a bit more comfortable about the headwinds that trade policy posed and feeling more comfortable, they were willing to take on more risk. That's why we're seeing those sectors like technology, communication services, and consumer discretionary start to find some buyers and starting to outperform here in the second quarter.
You sort of mentioned this, and I want to circle back, because if we're talking about the trade war, just a few months ago, it felt like it was shouting at investors, and maybe now it's dimmed to a muffled murmur. I mean, it's still present, but I do sort of feel like investors, like the newness of it, the scariness of it, the back and forth of it all seems to have possibly waned at least a little. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we hit a crescendo in the trade war news on April 2nd, when we had a very chaotic, very hard to understand rollout of reciprocal tariffs that made sense to almost nobody and were insurmountable in their scale and certainly would have put a lot of companies out of business. I think that was the reaction where we went down 10% in the S&P 500 in 2 days. flash forward to April 9th, and you had a 90-day negotiating period, with which we've heard there's ongoing negotiations. Certainly sounds like we're getting close with several countries here. And those negotiations probably look a lot less severe. So you got the worst of the news out in the first week of April, and now things at 10% universal tariffs seem a lot more mild, even though that's a significant increase from where we started.
Yeah. And just really quickly here, Art, what do you suggest for investors who, amid that all that uncertainty, exited the market and are now trying to get back in?
Well, that's the one thing we always recommend not to try to do. Timing this market is difficult even for professionals. And I think if you've got long-term investment time horizons, you should be a long-term investor and not vacillate with things like trade wars and things like actual wars. And just make sure you have a well-diversified portfolio and stick to your investment plan. If, in fact, these kind of things make you too nervous, maybe your exposure to equity should be pared back a little bit, but you don't want to try to trade around events.
Thanks so much for the insight. Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley Financial in New York. Up next, we'll make sure you're on track for those college savings.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It always helps to set goals and stay on track when saving for college, but don't panic if you're behind. Having a plan is what matters most. Let's bring on Ed Jurtzen, Certified Financial Planner and founder of Engage Wealth Group here in Chicago. Ed, glad to talk with you once again. You know, like a lot of parents, I'm feeling the pressure. Let me just say, I have a one-year-old and I already feel the pressure to save for college. So what are some realistic benchmarks that I can set that our listeners can set?
Yeah, it's great, Rachel, that this topic is so timely, especially given the fact that we've got kids graduating and kids like heading off to school in the fall. And so, like you had mentioned, if you find yourself behind, please don't panic. Don't become discouraged, right? Create a plan. And for you, the benefit is, you know, and for those with young children, is you can create that plan. You can kind of figure out, here's where the cost of college is today. Here's what it's going to be in the future. And then to identify priorities. That's first and foremost, right? If you're in a financial position to save for college and your retirement, great. But for the vast amount of people that we speak with, you know, the financial conundrum is, what do we do? Save for college or save for retirement? And that's where you have to work your way through those priorities in a plan.
How much flexibility is there within that? What I mean to say is, can a parent save up for college and maybe, you know, not pour as much into their retirement, but then let's say, oh, hey, good news, we've got these scholarships that came through. Now can we sort of rework the finances?
It's another great point, because ultimately, for the vast majority of people, something's got to give, right? So either we cut back on retirement saving during, let's say, the college years, we're using more cash flow to pay for that, and then catch up subsequently. But again, we plan and then things happen, as like you had outlined. If we're on this path to save for college and all of a sudden, you know, our kids get, you know, good scholarships, or the cost of college isn't as onerous as we thought, that's an additional benefit from that standpoint, which again, you can then double down in terms of your retirement savings. So again, being flexible in this approach, because as we know, let's say we have two spouses who work and then one loses a job, now what do we do? And so again, that's where planning comes in, and then the alternative plans of making that education goal, you know, come into reality.
Well, here's an unfortunate reality. Higher education costs keep going up. If you haven't heard that yet, I'll be the first to say it. But I've also heard the benchmark of needing $100,000 by age 18. Does that ring true for you, for your clients?
Yeah, and it all kind of depends, again, in terms of where you're at in your position. What is your child's pathway, right? Again, do they have scholarships? You know, were they good students and good grades and allow for that? And so saving for something, if your goal is, again, to save 100% for college, that's a different savings plan than, let's say, 50%. And the numbers that you're kind of alluding to, Rachel, is paying for 50% of college on the way up. And so if things are not going the way as expected, one of the things to consider, right, is what is called the 2+2 plan, right? 2 years in a community college followed by 2 years at a four-year university. It may not be the optimal for your student, but that might be the financial realities. Student loans are also another potential reality in terms of what you're facing. And so there's a lot of information that's out there. For your listeners, Rachel, studentaid.gov is a great place to start. But another good way to start, for young parents, are the Bright Start 529 plans for Illinois residents, right? There's a lot of great tax benefits to it. Tax deduction up front, tax deferred growth, and if used for eligible college expenses, no tax on the distributions. So don't procrastinate because you're behind. Just come up with a plan, engage with a certified financial planner, and walk your way through these different options that you have.
Thanks so much. Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of Engage Wealth Group here in Chicago. A reminder that you can join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is Stock Picker Monday, and that means, well, let's pick some stocks. Helping us out today with a couple of suggestions is Tim Griske, senior portfolio strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York. Tim, glad to have you with us. So what's your first pick?
Hi, Rachel. I'm going to start with Broadcom. The symbol is AVGO. If there were to be one addition to the so-called Magnificent Seven, in our mind, it would be Broadcom. This company is the poster child for operating efficiency. They've got excellent operating margins. They generate massive cash flow. Management has proven itself to be a premier acquirer of other companies and thoughtful cost cutters. And this company in the networking and wireless chip business is best of breed. They've got great relationships with Apple, Google, Cisco, many others, and they'll continue to be significant beneficiaries of AI spending.
Yeah, I was going to say, how tied is Broadcom to this AI boom we've been seeing in the tech industry?
They are a major factor in AI and will continue to be. And this is a big reason why we own the stock.
And that's Broadcom, ticker AVGO. Tim, what's your second pick?
Well, this will be more of a name most people know, and that's J.P. Morgan, the large bank, the biggest bank in the U.S., one of the biggest in the world. They are a leader in using technology within the bank now, using artificial intelligence to make themselves much more efficient. And it, to us, they are the best bank out there. They do well in all types of economic markets, especially in down markets. They are cautious, and that is a big benefit and something you definitely want with a bank. Their leverage ratio has been very conservative. Reducing it frees up capital, and we expect them to do that. They are a leader in loans, stock buybacks, acquisitions, and growth in general, which we certainly believe is ahead of us. So when there are problems at other financial firms in the past, the government goes to J.P. Morgan, whether it was for Bear Stearns or First Republic. They are the savior of other banks.
Now, Tim, between Broadcom and J.P. Morgan, both big players here in the markets, but for investors looking at these two, what's the biggest difference in what they bring to a portfolio?
Well, they're really at opposite ends. Broadcom is a high-growth company focused just on technology. Technology is certainly the future, we think, of not only our country and our markets. J.P. Morgan is more of the core, more of the base solidifies all of our economics and all of our financials. They are the backstop of our economy.
Thanks so much. Tim Griske, senior portfolio strategist at Ingalls & Snyder in New York, New York. Of course, you'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and on the Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.